The psalmist is praying to the Lord, and he's praying not to the men of the nation, not to some individual, not to the king. He's praying to the Lord. Wilt thou not revive us again? Lord, revive us again. And as the people of God, we need to be reminded this is not something we can do ourselves. This is the work of God. Our nature is to move against it. Our nature is to go cold. It is not of us. We cannot work it up. It is a work of God. It is a work of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Thank you. Welcome to our program today, and we thank you for joining with us as we consider the Word of God. Do drop us an email at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Let us know you're listening, and let us know how the Word of God is blessing and encouraging your soul. pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Those details will be repeated after this program as well. Yesterday we were considering the subject of revival based on Psalm 85, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Let's go now to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part two of that message entitled, "Lord, Revive Us Again."
Is your desire to serve the Lord more or less the same as when you were saved? It should be more. We should be growing in all of these things, but yet we can be hindered because of sin. Lord, revive us again. We need a tender heart. Richard Sibbes the Puritan said, "The tenderness of heart is wrought by an apprehension of tenderness and love in Christ. A soft heart is made soft by the blood of Christ." And oh, that we would have hearts that are tender toward the Lord. Hearts that love Him. Hearts that love Him. What does revival do? Well, it starts within our hearts. We often think of revivals as hundreds of souls being saved. But personally, we need to be revived. It starts within the people of God. Do you this morning have a deep and strong desire for God? Do you see the need we have to constantly be revived, to be on fire for Him? That's the important thought here. If we desire the Lord to revive us again, we must see that we have a need, because we can fall so easily back. We can get comfortable within our lives and within the life of the church and be cold at heart. Do we have that passionate desire for Christ? A desire for souls to be saved? Do we see the need for our own spiritual lives to be constantly renewed and filled with the Spirit of God? Have you prayed, "Lord, revive me again. Revive my heart. I see the need. I see how easily this world can get into my life and take my eyes off Thee and off my duty toward Christ. Lord, revive me again." When we think of those old revivals, something very interesting. Whether it's 1904 in Wales, whether it's 1859 in Ulster, or any other revival, there's no television. There's no internet. There was very little by means of the worldly entertainment that we have today. There was going to the pub. There was drinking, alcohol. There's maybe games or some sort of recreation, but nothing in comparison to what we have today. Things were also more difficult. The plowing of a field taking place today, well, if you see a farmer go out with a little tool to plow the field, well, something's wrong. He uses machinery, it's easier. We have all the machinery today that helps us save time, yet we have so little time. We have all the modern things that help us save time today, but yet we have so little time. How long would it take you to walk to church? I think it takes me about half an hour. I walked it the other week. About 30 minutes or so, less than 10 minutes in the car. Imagine 100, 200, 300 years ago having to walk to church, even half an hour, 40 minutes or an hour, in the rain or in the snow or whatever it might be, to get to the house of God. There were believers who had such a desire for God and for His Word that that's what they did. They wanted to be in church worshiping God. Morning and evening, rain, snow, sun, whatever it is. They wanted to be there and they walked. They walked. They didn't have their fancy runners that they bought in the sports shop. They had their shoes. I wouldn't like to walk an hour in my shoes I wear on a Sunday. Imagine walking around for Canada Post with those shoes on. I'd have blisters constantly. We have lots of comforts today, but very little effort for the cause of Christ. Oh, the Lord would revive us. Revive us. That we would see that He is more important. And He is more vital to our souls. And we need to be revived. And that the things of this world would be set aside. Set aside. Secondly, and touching on some of this already, we have, do you have a personal desire for revival? Do you personally desire God to move, to revive His work, to revive the land, to revive your heart? Is this something not only do you see, but do you desire it? Dear believer, do you desire it? Do you desire the Lord to work within your life, to revive your heart again? When faced with the law of God, King Josiah responded, and he began to seek the Lord. He cried, he prayed, he was humble toward the word of God. He could have said, well, I've done that which is right in the sight of God. I've served the Lord. He could fill himself with pride. I'm keeping the word of God. I'm following the Lord. I've done all these things. I've removed the places of idol worship. I've smashed the idols to dust. But he still humbled himself before the Lord because there was more to be done. There was more to be done. Dear believer, do you have a personal desire to be revived, to be sanctified, to be closer to the God of heaven? Oh, that we would deal with our pride. We often think too highly of ourselves. We often think we can be spiritual, when in reality we are not. And that is something that we can blind ourselves with. We think we are good. We think we are righteous, but we are not. We are not. I've preached in meetings in the past, and I've left those meetings thinking it was a good meeting, and God is blessed, and the people were favorable. And then I've looked maybe 10 years later over those notes and thought, however did I get into a pulpit and preach that sermon? It's absolutely terrible. It's terrible. If I was ever to preach that again, I would need to start from scratch. And we can think highly of ourselves. Oh, we did well at this thing. Oh, we did good at this. But in reality, maybe we didn't. We can blind ourselves. We could fail to examine ourselves and think that all is well, when in reality is not. I'm a good person, and I'm righteous, and I'm holy, and I'm godly, and my heart's on fire for God. And that's what we're believing. And that is what we're trying to, as it were, that message we're sending out about ourselves. We believe it, we want others to believe it, but yet deep down, that's not the case. We're in self-denial. We need to be realistic. We need to examine ourselves as the Word of God tells us. As we come to the Lord's table this next week, let us examine ourselves. Do we think that we're self-righteous? We often talk about the self-righteous sinner, the one who thinks they're good enough without Christ. But we can be self-righteous believers because we feel that, well, we're good enough. We're good enough in all that we do, but we need to take a reality check. We need to deal with our pride. Spiritual pride makes us look at others and not ourselves. Spiritual pride leads us to criticize others and not look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. Do we desire personal revival? Do we need it? Do we desire it? Let us ask that question. Let us set aside by God's grace any pride. Because the answer, whether you may be the most godliest person in this congregation or not, the answer is always yes. We need to be revived. We need to be reformed. We need to be closer to Christ. We need to be praying this prayer, Lord, revive us again. Do we desire others to be revived? Do we desire our friends, our family, or those who attend the house of God with us to be revived and to have that passion for Christ the same as us? Do we desire the church to be revived? Well, set the example. Come to the house of God without fail. Come and pray. Come and seek the Lord. Be that example. We spoke last week about the elders of the church in the membership class. The elders of the church being the example. Leading. Coming to the house of God. Praying. Dear believer, we should all endeavor, as those who know and love the Lord, to be such examples as well. To set the example. And what of the means of grace? The means of grace are crucial to revival. God's word. Prayer. Seeking the Lord. Do you desire those means of grace constantly? Or does your heart need to be revived in regard to seeing your need for them? Well, dear believer, there is a need. There should be a desire. But then finally, are you relying upon God's power for revival? Are you relying upon God's power for revival? There's something we need to understand here. This is a prayer. The psalmist is praying to the Lord, and he's praying not to the men of the nation, not to some individual, not to the king. He's praying to the Lord. Wilt thou not revive us again? Lord, revive us again. And as the people of God, we need to be reminded this is not something we can do ourselves. This is the work of God. Our nature is to move against it. Our nature is to go cold. It is not of us. We cannot work it up. It is a work of God. It is a work of God. I was once greatly encouraged to hear of the Lord mightily moving through the youth outreach of a particular church. I was hearing of young people being saved. And I went to preach in that church, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to see some of these young people, and I'm going to be preaching to some of these young people. I was the youngest person in the church. I was 30 years of age, thereabouts. Where were the young people? I didn't think I scared them away. I don't think I'm scurry that they heard I was coming, and therefore they didn't come. I was there on a few occasions. Where were they? Not at the worship services of the church. A true conversion, true salvation, is a work of God. And if that is the case, that is good. But there are signs and there are evidences. And one of those evidences, the fruit of true salvation, is that desire to be at the house of God, to be at the Lord's house, to meet with Him, to worship, to hear the Word of God preached. That's why it's so important to disciple and to teach and to instruct those who are young in the faith. Those who are young regarding children, those who are young in the faith regarding adults who are newly saved. To instruct and to teach and to guide them. We need true conversions. We need a true work of God. The evidence of true revival is true godly fruit. True spiritual fruit that God has given. What is the sign of true conversion? A desire to come to the house of God. A desire to serve the Lord. A desire to witness to the lost. A desire, by God's grace, to change your life, to put to death those sins and to live for the Savior. True spiritual God-given fruit. It is a work of God. But reforming, reviving, is a difficult work, and we're not to give up. John Bond, the Puritan John Bond, he said this, and I was reading this quotation, I went to see who wrote it, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. But he said that some say, but there is great opposition. Many mighty stubborn enemies are against us. It's a difficult work. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to reform our lives and to seek the Lord and to be closer to Him and to do His work. He said, "This is good evidence that you are about a choice piece of church work. Show me a reformation that went on without difficulties and obstructions." And he says, "So these very crags and bogs which you pass through in the way," he said, "are not discouragements. The hard times are not discouragements. They're waymarks. That is, signs that you are right in the old reformation way that ever hath been trodden." When we desire the Lord to work within our lives, to revive us, to reform His church, it's a difficult work. The devil will seek to cause problems. And the old Puritan said, they are not discouragements. They're signs you're on the right track because the enemy is trying to prevent it. Dear believer, it is a difficult work. Don't let the world have the victory. Don't let the world win in their desire for you to have a spiritual life that is one day a week in the house of God. But look to the Lord for grace and help and strength, that your spiritual life will abound, that coming to the house of God on the Lord's Day and listening to His word is, as it were, the highlight of an entire week that has been lived for Christ. Lived witnessing Christ, for Christ, lived in the word of Christ, lived serving Christ, lived for the glory of Christ. In Ulster in 1859, there was an old Presbyterian minister. He's a godly man who stood firm for the faith. It's another topic in itself. Great history there. His name was Henry Cook. And before the revival, some years before, he wrote, and he said this, speaking to the context of Northern Ireland, but there are similarities with us today. He said, "Let the dangers with which you are threatened lead you nearer to the God of salvation." We see dangers. We see threats in our nation. Let them lead us nearer to the God of salvation and render you more familiar with the throne of grace, looking for grace to help you in time of need. He said, "The great fault of Protestants, the fault for which they have suffered, and if they discover it not and mend it not, for which they will suffer again, is their trusting in princes and men's sons," trusting in men and not in the living God. He said, "Experience of the past should have taught us that we can't trust our destinies to man, to no individual." He says, "Let us trust the Lord." Dear believer, that is true of us. No man has the answer. No man should be our sole trust, but the God of heaven. And so therefore, let us desire reformation. Let us desire the reviving of our hearts, the reviving of the church of Christ. Let us rely upon the power of God. Let us desire Him. When we look at sin within our lives, can we conquer that sin ourselves? We need the power of God. Can we be a strong witness for Christ in our own strength? We need the power of God. And so let us pray, "Lord, Lord, revive us again. Lord, reform us. Lord, bring us closer to Thee, that we may be that witness, that we may glorify Thee. Lord, do this work." May we have that desire to be closer to the Lord. May we have that desire to walk in His ways, to have our hearts revived time and time again. It is a constant need, a constant need. May we have that desire. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Spurgeon comes to this passage today, and he entitles his devotional, "He hath said." If we can only grasp these words by faith, we have an all-conquering weapon in our hand. What doubt will not be slain by this too edged sword. What fear is there which shall not fall smitten with a deadly wound before this arrow from the bow of God's covenant? Will not the distresses of life and the pangs of death, will not the corruptions within and the snares about, will not the trials from above and the temptations from beneath all seem but light afflictions, when we can hide ourselves beneath the bulwark of He hath said? Yes, whether for delight in our quietude, or for strength in our conflict, He hath said must be our daily resort. And this may teach us the extreme value of searching the Scriptures. There may be a promise in the Word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort. You are like prisoners in a dungeon, and there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door, and you might be free. But if you will not look for it, you may remain a prisoner still, though liberty is so near at hand. There may be a potent medicine in the great pharmacopoeia of Scripture, and you may yet continue sick unless you will examine and search the Scripture to discover what He hath said. Should you not, besides reading the Bible, store your memories richly with the promises of God? You can recollect the sayings of great men. You treasure up the verses of renowned poets. Ought you not to be profound in your knowledge of the words of God, so that you may be able to quote them readily when you would solve a difficulty or overthrow a doubt? Since He hath said is the source of all wisdom and the fountain of all comfort, let it dwell in you richly. As a well of water springing up unto everlasting life, so shall you grow healthy, strong, and happy in the divine life. We're coming to the end of our program today. We thank you for listening. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. We're back every weekday, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a one-hour church service. May the Lord bless you, and may His word find that resting place in your heart, and that it would indeed dwell in you richly. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's Word. Our weekday program continues on Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Have a blessed weekend, and may the Lord continue to bless the preaching of His Word to each one of us.